I'd like to open up, first of all, Guy, if I might ask you first. Obviously, we know you for films in the past that have been a little bit smaller than something like Sherlock Holmes, the big blockbuster. Why did you choose this one?
I chose this really because I needed the job. outside of that, I wanted to go from small independent films. And this seemed to be the kind of perfect segue from going something that was from something that was small. But I managed to hold on to an English identity. But at the same time, we had American muscle and American pockets. So it's kind of the perfect segue for me to have something that's big and broad, but is essentially English, but with all the American muscle.
Is there any more pressure because of that American muscle in those pockets?
You'll have to ask me that in a few days once the film opens. But as yet, it's really the same, I think. The same process is involved for a small film as it is for a big film. That may all change in a few days.
We'll see. Okay, questions from the floor. Down the front here.
Hi, I'd like to ask Jude and Robert how you see these characters that you've, quote, reinvented for this movie, how you see them as different than what we've known as Watson and Holmes before. And for Robert, this movie has none of the 7% solution, and I wonder if that was your input to say you didn't want to be part of something that might, you know, glamorize cocaine use.
When I was asked to get involved, Robert was already set as Sherlock, and Guy was directing, and I knew from then that it was going to be a different take on the older films of Sherlock Holmes, and it fascinated me. And obviously they were coming to me not to put on two stone and fall around and put my foot in waste paper baskets, but they were going to come and ask me to play him with a bit more edge, Watson with a bit more edge. And what was intriguing, because I hadn't read the books as a boy, was to go back to the books and realize how much of this new rediscovery, if you like, was also in the source material. So it was a kind of happy juggle between going back to Conan Doyle and relishing in all the accuracy that had perhaps at times in the past been overlooked, and also looking into the future and adding a new energy to an audience that we hope will discover Sherlock Holmes for the first time.
I love the 7% solution. It was never a high enough percentage for me. Kind of a weak, tepid solution, if you ask me. But well, this is a PG-13 movie, and even if it wasn't, the idea is, if you go back to the source material, he's never described as being some, you know, strung-out weirdo. And also, back in Victorian times, it was absolutely legal, acceptable. You could go down to your corner pharmacist and grab all that stuff. So we thought it would be irresponsible to not make reference to it. And so, again, I think a lot of the flaming hoops we had to jump through doing Sherlock, where how do you take what comes from the source material, how do you amend it so that it's accessible, and how do you not whitewash it, but how do you still be respectful to that? And, I mean, as far as if there's anything that we've added this time around, is that it's essentially, as much as it's about this very far-reaching case and Holmes and Watson save life on Earth as we know it, you know, it's also basically a fight over, well, you, isn't it, Kelly? It's a fight over Mary Morstan.
As there should be a fight over. The guy over there has put his hand up next to the mic.
Hello. This is a question for the actors. I was wondering what kind of acting, what requires for the acting for the slow motion thing, because there's a lot of sequences in slow motion. So I was wondering if that...
For is there the any actors, techniques
yes,
involved?
Any
what
techniques
sort of technique involved? For the actors? Robert, when you're doing the super slow-mo, how do you do that?
Am I expected to qualify as this with an answer? It's a 7-second take. And so if you notice, everything that happens that you never see in 7 seconds, you see in playback. So I think it's just about trying to do less.
There is a sense, though, would you say, that because it is super slow-mo, there's no hiding. You can't sort of bring a body double in. You can't get a stunt double.
Yeah, often it's not. But I don't, I mean, you know. Guy used to tell me, try one like that tastes like peanut butter. And I thought that is the strangest direction I've ever got. And it actually kind of worked.
Down the front here in the white top.
Thank you very much, and good luck with the new movie. I am from Israel, and I have a question for you, Guy. I saw in the movie few words in Hebrew, taken from the Kabbalah, like Tzedek and Shlemut. And I know that you are interested in Kabbalah, and also your ex-wife, and you've been in Israel, and the rumor said that you took shoot some movie about the Kabbalah. So is it an influence about from the Kabbalah in this movie? And also, how was Israel for you?
Israel's very nice.
If you can shorter answer.
Okay. Israel.
Thank you.
Now, even if you come through the door of this building, above the door it says Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. So we actually derived most of our influence from esoteric schools, and the Masons was loosely based on the Masons, but the Masons themselves are heavily steeped in Hebraic scripture. So that's really where we drew our inspiration.
Down the front here with the blue top.
Hello, I'm Pierpaolo from Italy. A question to Robert Downey Jr. Holmes has been an inspiration for many TV series like House MD. In that case, you, Laurie, plays an American, and he's British, and you're the opposite here. First of all, you are you a fan of that series and his work? And in Italy, we know Robert Downey Jr. can do everything. And were you scared about approaching this role? Thank you.
Scared. I don't get scared anymore. I just get busy. I already knew by the time Guy was directing this that that it was a fresh interpretation. And then, you know, I've worked with Joel Silver a bunch. I've lived with Susan Downey a bunch. And Lionel Wigram basically is the person who figured out how to reprise this as a film. So I knew I was in good hands, and then just a matter of just getting down to business, you know. Fortunately, I'd spent some time here in the late 80s playing chaplain, and I had a great tutelage in all things British from Lord Attenborough, so I felt like I kind of, you know, passed go, and but definitely felt the onus of it's not the fear of the judgment of others. It's just at a certain point, it just comes down to will you meet the standards that people are expecting of you and you expect of them. What about the role?
Hugh Laurie.
Oh, Hugh Laurie.
Yeah.
Hugh Laurie. It's nice. What did he say about Israel? No, that's actually an interesting point. I like that guy.
You mentioned Lionel in that answer there. Lionel, I know that one of the most important things for you producing and sorting out the screenplay was maintaining that authenticity and the integrity of Sherlock Holmes. How did you go about making sure you did that?
Well, I mean, it comes from fandom. This whole movie, really, I was a fan from being a kid, and everybody on this rostrum either was a fan of Sherlock or became a fan during the shooting of the movie. We kept constantly referring back to Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's stories. Every scene in the movie, we tried to have at least one piece of Arthur Conan Doyle dialogue, and we just kept going back and back and back and really just harvesting those amazing stories, which are so rich, for as much detail as we could put in there.
And it was an important part of it, wasn't it, that you maintained that authenticity?
It was essential to us. I mean, there's a reason why Sherlock Holmes has lasted 122 years. And it's because the stories are so good, and he's created such amazing characters in Holmes and Watson, and we really wanted to maintain that.
Okay. Jackie, down the front here, with the red shoes.
On behalf of Japanese journalists, I have a question to Robert and Jude. The relationship between Sherlock and Watson on screen reminds us of an old married couple at times. How did you create that chemistry between yourself? I think on the production note you said we are very much on the same page, which is a very eccentric page. But how did you collaborate together? And there is another question to all of you. When was your first introduction to Sherlock Holmes as a story or was it a movie?
My first job, my second job on TV was in the Sherlock Holmes TV series. I played a stable boy.
Jeremy Brett.
Mm. We started work the minute we met, didn't we?
Yeah. We didn't. Well, we were trying to get him to do the movie, and you're a pretty savvy guy, so it's not like, you know, it's all just talk. It's, are you interested in making the best version of this? And the great feedback we've been getting today is that they say the movie is about the two of you and the third thing that that creates. Well, it's one thing to promise you can get there, and it's another thing to just roll up your sleeves and get into it. And Guy created such a sublime atmosphere on set, and yeah. And really there was no we weren't sure that it was going to turn out as well as it did, but we really efforted, and I think, you know, it's this whole thing of like, well, why is it that it's so funny to me, because usually I'm used to just saying, well, you and so-and-so, it's always female, had this great chemistry, and they're talking about Jude and I like we should be doing romantic comedies together or something. But this film is not a comedy, and it's a love affair of sorts, but it's about what it's about. But I think that, you know, Holmes and Watson are aspects of all of us, and I think that we knew when to yin and yang back and forth, and we were just a good team.